This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday. It's freezing. Like, today's easily the coldest day I think we've had. Come on, don't let me be wrong on this one. I checked the temperature gauge. I don't always do that. I forgot to do it yesterday. I felt like yesterday was cold, but this morning really was. Like, I've never walked out of the house with gloves. I thought gloves were necessary. That's how I knew.
It's nice, Gareth. Just think you're a child in Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere. Whatever gets you through.
Okay, all right. Maybe that'll help.
Life is just about shifting your paradigms.
Well, says the guy who takes cold showers and hops on a bike every day. I'm going to take your advice.
Although, thanks to shitonomics, I guess, no cold shower this morning.
What do you mean?
No water.
No water at all.
So I had to cobble together whatever was left for drinking purposes to do what I needed to do.
You didn't have water?
No, I haven't eaten water since yesterday.
What's that all about?
Hang on there. Yeah.
What the hell's that?
I don't know how we're meant to live and expect to be living like individuals. Yeah. Prosperous human beings in such a state.
Yeah, it's...
These new norms, though.
Yeah, well, don't think for a second that these things affect politicians, because they absolutely don't. Those guys seem to have their own rules and regulations, and they don't apply to the rest of us.
Yeah, and even if they do have some sort of water suffrage, they'll just call their side chick and go to a hotel for a night.
That's true.
Yeah. Fire up the Blue Light Brigade.
Right.
We need to go shower somewhere for 10 grand.
Absolutely. So, is there something wrong with our Wi-Fi?
Why is that so?
I don't know. Yes. It seems like it's not connecting.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, something's going on.
Hey, anyway, party people.
Yeah, you get those mornings. Morning, Sia. Sia said there was an accident on his way here this morning. Hopefully not too many dead bodies on the side of the road.
No, it's not just dead bodies, more like dead robots. That's the problem.
I've got to bring something that just bothers me every time. Sia, you, appearance-wise, are immaculate. You take great pride in this. It is your be-all and end-all. At length, we've spoken about moisturizing. Your phone is an utter disaster. Professionally speaking, you go into a meeting and it looks like you can't actually hold a phone above the ground. I mean, do you not see the disconnect here?
Okay, well, here's the thing. I need to...
And don't tell me it's too expensive, because it's you as a brand, it's you as a person, it's you as everything.
I need to defend myself here.
All right.
So I'm one of those people who...
Defend or deflect?
Explain, rather.
Let's choose
another word. I'm one of those people who who needs a screen protector. And so I got that for my phone when I got it. But because I know myself and how things tend to get after a couple of drinks when I go out, this is what happens. So I know I'd probably go through 40,000 different screen protectors because I'm so clumsy as
well. Get the next one on. Maybe you'll learn just be better with them.
I don't know.
I've got to look at it every single morning. No, it's...
Okay, let me flip it over and you'll see the back cover.
Yeah, I'm afraid because I was using... I was using Sia's phone some of the time in London to take pictures and so on. And you can hardly see the screen. There's so many cracks.
We're better than this. It's 2018.
My friends always ask me, like, how is your thumb not, like,
exactly
scarred and bruised right now?
Yeah. And then the infection? Because, you know, there's dirt welling up in those cracks.
Stop, please don't.
All of this comes to a place of care and love.
Thank you, Ben.
Just by the way, guys, what is wrong with me?
Oh,
why am I the only person in South Africa who was invited to this Obama lecture who doesn't want to go?
Because you said so yesterday. It's cold, and what are you going to gain from it?
Yeah, but I mean, is there something wrong with me? Because
no.
I don't seem to be able to have the fun that I need to be able to have.
The fun?
I'm unable to access the enjoyment part of this.
Gareth, because I know what you're thinking.
Fine.
Okay, what am I thinking?
You're thinking about you have to drive there.
Yeah.
It's either you have to
I'm
Ubering. Great, okay, so that alleviates some of the
thought
process. See?
I've been thinking about this since Thursday.
You're thinking about having to carry some identification going through the process because it is at a stadium and there are tons of people there.
All the people.
And then you're thinking of having to mill around and you'll get stopped by people and then you'll meet some people that you have to have idle conversation with, which you aren't even interested in. Then you'll have to sit down down, and it's probably not a good angle where you'll right. see Obama quite clearly, and then you'll be freezing or uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to bother you. See, it's going to bother me if some like TV celebrity has a better seat than me, because I'm going to be annoyed that some douchebag who's just really paid to hold a microphone and talk shit on television is there when there could be interesting elements of Obama's speech that won't even go into their heads. They're just going to sail over. They're going to be talking about how they were at Obama's thing and taking selfies, but they're not actually listening.
Then
bother
in the
me.
Back of your head, you'll think, could have live-streamed this from home.
But Gareth, right. just like any other performing artist that comes in here and says, you must come to my show, and you go, yes, I will, and then you never do. It's the exact same purpose here. Why do you want to? You don't want to bother yourself with the logistics of it. It's
yes,
okay.
I know, but I've got to learn, because I usually enjoy these things once I'm there. I actually do enjoy it.
Okay.
See the people that you want to see. There's always someone interesting. There's always an interesting conversation to be had. You know, there's value to be gained. But I can only ever realize, because I'm stuck. I'm like, I'm. There's something wrong with me. I should be excited to be going to this thing. I should be excited to be part of any of the things that I get invited to. I should be pleased to be there. But there's a part of me that just up to the moment I arrive is very unhappy that I said yes. We've discussed this before, the opposite of FOMO, right?
So at least right now you are going?
Yes, no, I'm definitely
okay,
going.
Okay, you are
No, I'm not the kind of guy who will, if I'm invited somewhere, not pitch if I've said yes. No, that's just rude. Even if it's 1,000 people there and I'm the one who knows, you know? Mm-hmm. I know I didn't pitch and I said I would. Hey, Nolo. Nolo is our producer. She's waiting to take your calls. 0861-555-189.
And you can see what she looks like by going to the Gareth Cliff account, Gareth Cliff Show account on Instagram.
That's correct. Oh. Go onto our Instagram and take a look. You can see Nolo smiling while I'm pretending to show her what to do with the phone. Because I, of course, don't know what to do with the phone, and she does.
If you also want to see how good Poppy and Sia are in geography, go onto the exact same account and you'll see a video.
Yes.
Oh, it's in the story. Somebody died by now.
Sure. That's quite something.
Oh, never mind.
How are you doing this morning? How's it going, and how's your production role panning out for you? Oh, hang on. Your mic's not on. Just check all the buttons on that side. Seems to be on this side. Sia, do you want to go and see if it's working? These are the teething problems that we have with technology. I swear I took Greg through this and said, is everything working? Is everything attached? Is everything fixed? There we go. Now it's working. I don't know what happened there. There we go.
Great
right.
stuff.
Okay. Hey.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
So, Gareth, is it possible that you are socially awkward?
Oh, that's without a doubt part of
no,
the problem.
No, it's confirmed.
Yeah.
No.
Because I can relate to that. I like people, but at the same time, I don't. I just, yeah.
Mm. I don't know what triggers it, though, because a lot of times when I'm in performer mode, then I'm fine. Then I know I've got a job to do, and, you know, especially if I have a role in something. That's why I'm not entirely sure. If I'm just a guest, I never really know what to do. If I'm there to enjoy myself, or I'm there to experience something, and that's all there is, I'm not really sure what to do. But when I have a job to do, then I feel a lot more like I have a purpose, you know? There's something I can do here. Anyway, let's not get into the too much of the psychology of this, because I don't think most people care.
I just think it's cool. Obama's coming. Yeah. It's the first time he's coming to Africa.
You going, Sia?
Yes.
Yes.
No, it's the first time he's coming to Africa after his term in office. Mm-hmm. And I'm there for all of the corniness. I'm there for all of the crowds. I want to hold hands with people. I want to sing the national anthem.
See, this is exactly what's going to put me off. This is precisely the stuff that's going to drive me up the wall.
I'm going to hate that.
I'm going to hate that. And then he's going to say, we're all together in this.
I'm like,
everybody,
yes, I'm
everybody,
busy.
We are one. We are all the same. We are, everybody's here to have a good time. I don't want to hear that shit. I really
yes,
I'm
like, so oh, busy.
It's just, but it feels like we moved to a different place now. It feels like we've moved on from that. We're in another stage now. And I don't want to hear the same old crap. He better have some new material. That's all I'm saying. And I say that because I do expect a lot of him. Like, I'm a fan.
Can I come with you just with the placard saying, can I please have water?
Yes, sure. But he's not going to be able to help you.
Well, I mean, at least he sees the plight of us here.
Oh, man.
You know, it's all about that. It's like Pussy Riot took to the field to show their plight. I'm going to show my plight.
You will too.
Yeah.
Does he Does Pussy it still riot? Fly? No, the Air Force One is safe for the president.
Yeah, it's
right?
only for the pres.
Yeah, that's Air Force
donuts Two
in Russia
is
right
for
now.
The deputy president. What do former presidents fly in? Because he's not flying.
No, former presidents just fly commercially.
What?
Oh, yeah. He would have come in on a normal airline. He would have come in on, you know, SAA or on
really?
Emirates or on, yeah, of course. Of course he is. Oh, well, you don't see. This is the point that we've got to learn. This is what we have to learn in Africa. You were once a president, then you go back to being a citizen. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way it should be. You're not a king. You don't get to be president for life.
That is interesting.
You call him Mr. President as long as he's alive, but he doesn't. All he gets is a little security detail forever because they don't want him like picked off by murderers and assassins.
And how much is that extended to his wife and his kids?
Yeah, you get to build a little library, which is your presidential library, and then you return to being a normal citizen. You have to earn money. You have to go around, and most of them end up on the speaking circuit doing stuff. Some of them become activists like Carter.
Wow.
Some of them skydive like George H.W. Bush. You know, you do whatever you want to do. And the quieter you are as an ex-president, the better. Because nobody wants to hear a mouthy ex-president talking about things that affect the current administration. It's considered bad manners if you come out of retirement to, you know, like George W. Bush criticized Trump and Reagan was the example of someone who just, I mean, because he was demented. So he just quietly went off into the sunset and nobody really bothered him. Did you notice that when Jacob Zuma was president, you couldn't really get Nelson Mandela to say things about him, which is considered good manners as an ex-president. You've got to move on and let the new administration do its thing, even if you think they're really screwing up. You know, kind of, it's the right thing to do. And I think where a lot of people are expecting Obama to jump in and rescue the Democrats, because they're in a disastrous situation at the moment. They don't have any candidates ahead of the primaries. Nobody's really excited about the Democratic base. It's not very energized. Everyone's looking to Obama like, come on, be our savior, be our Jesus.
Mm.
And no, really. And people hate Trump. And, you know, a lot of people in America hate Trump. So they are expecting Obama to jump in and close that gap. And he's doing what a good ex-president, look, he was a terrific president, in my opinion. I know a lot of people disagreed. Terrific president. Now he's being a really good ex-president. He's not going to pitch up at the Wanderers today and start talking about what an asshole Trump is. That I can promise you.
That's how you get the cheers, though.
Oh, big time. All he has to do is say, well, things have changed. And people go, yeah.
Yeah, you see, you know? Obama has that line of knowing what to say.
Yeah.
In terms of what the masses want to hear. But he will coin it or term it in a safe way.
Oh, yeah, no, he's not gonna say anything.
He will definitely drop terms like hope.
Because you see, he's also going to
keep together.
What he realizes, like, he feeds that Trump machine if he speaks out. The moment he says something like, you know, this administration don't know what they're doing, oh, then it's going to get back to Trump. Trump's going to say, oh, let me point out Obama's fuck ups again to you. And let me tear down something else he's done, like Obamacare. Or,
well, yeah, that's another reason why maybe they're not outspoken. The good manners and protocol aside is that they've all got their skeletons. So the moment you throw shit,
yeah,
you're going to mess up your glass house and stuff.
Yeah, and they all know each other's stuff by the time they work in that Oval Office. Anyway, so it'll be interesting. I'm pretty sure it will be. I don't want too much of the flowery crap. I'm not there to be inspired or motivated.
Wow.
I'm not. I want to hear, you know, the experience of being president. I want to hear what he thinks of where we are in South Africa at the moment, because that's something he can speak about objectively. You know, he can't really upset anyone by saying, this is how I think things have changed in South Africa. I'd like to know what he thinks of what's happening in our economy, in our social structures, in our non-government organizations, to constitutionalism. I'd like to know his thoughts on those things. He's a very smart lawyer, remember. He's a very smart public administration man. He's a very smart government man. I'd like to know his thoughts on government. I'm not interested in philosophy and ideology. I want him to leave a couple of pointers that everybody who attends, it's a lecture after all, right?
Mm.
It's a Nelson Mandela lecture. The purpose of that is to give us some information that can help us to reach a point where our economy will be competitive again, where we will create jobs, where we'll be able to make South Africa into something that is accommodating of all the people who've fallen out of the cracks at this point. And if he can't help us with that, then what he's here to do is to just be in selfies. And I think that would be sad.
His eyes just lit up with excitement.
No, not even.
And no one's going to get a selfie. He's gonna be flown in or driven in. He's going to go up, do the speaking, and then he's going to be out of there. No one's going to get a chance to take a picture. So all those people who are going to get a picture and feel sorry for them
will
be horribly disappointed.
I heard from little birdies that there are a couple of private dinners that are happening.
I'm sure that's happening. Yeah.
That's very fancy. But, you know, I think it will be very similar to the speech he made at Madiba's funeral here.
Well,
it will be under the auspices of Madiba was a great man, he would have been 100, and he uses all of that. I'm really not taking anything away from his credibility. I would be the last one. What grounds do I have? But I think that's what it's going to be.
I'd like something a little more substantial.
Yeah.
I really would. And it's not too much to ask, I think. When you're asked to do a lecture, he knows. He comes from an academic background. He's got an idea of what to do. You know, leave us with some theory, some idea, give us something that's valuable. You know, you've got huge amounts of experience in running the most complicated government in the world, the biggest, maybe not the most complicated, the biggest, the most successful Western democracy that there is. You know some things that could help us to build our own democracy and to create an opportunity for ordinary South Africans to contribute to that democracy. That would be helpful.
Take his role of president aside.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's using his expertise, his education, as you were saying, and his background to use as much as he could?
I don't know. I don't know. I think people have very high expectations of former politicians. You know, it's like you don't go to the CEO who resigned in March and keep bothering him about what he's doing next. Maybe he just resigned because he's tired. You know what presidency does to people. It ages them horrendously. And it makes them... It's extremely stressful. It's a difficult thing to do. Maybe he just doesn't want to be bothered by this stuff anymore. He's prepared to give a lecture here and there. He's prepared to remain this kind of statesman figure. But maybe he doesn't want to be responsible for you anymore.
And so he shouldn't. You know, you make a good point, Gareth, by saying he doesn't need to be someone's Jesus. Like, I mean, this is maybe why I've got a fundamental problem with religion, is because I don't believe anyone should be your Jesus. You should be trying to be successful yourself, trying whatever you can do to make... If everyone had that mindset, then we wouldn't have to stand there and go, oh, I really hope he does something for us, because you'd have done it already.
Yeah. Yeah, correct.
It can't be that hard to get into our minds that we can't keep outsourcing all our expectations, hopes, dreams, and everything to people who are just people. That's all they are. They get titles. Great. I've also got a title.
Yeah, Emperor Ben, aren't you?
There he is.
In your house,
you're
the emperor.
You just made it up right now. There we go.
You're the emperor of your house.
Here's my title.
Okay, I do want to ask you about this, because maybe you know, I certainly don't know. The hashtag In My Feelings challenge today, do you know what that is? Will Smith is apparently talking about this at the moment. What is it?
In My Feelings is a new song by Drake.
Okay.
And the song's very popular, and there's a dance to it. So if you search the hashtag In My Feelings, everyone has now learned the same dance, and it's like predominantly massive on Instagram.
Okay.
So there's a little dance routine, and everyone does it, and people like Will Smith kind of blew the top off the entire challenge, because he was in Russia, and he climbed on top of a bridge in Will Smith fashion, literally climbed on top of a bridge, and he had a drone following him, and he did the dance routine on top of a bridge. That's why everyone was like, oh my gosh, Will Smith. But yeah, Ciara's doing it. Even Poppy did it on her Instagram. So yeah.
Very nice.
People with two left feet like me should just give up and watch and enjoy other
people. I don't know.
People.
I saw you dancing in London. You went pretty crazy, man.
After a couple of tequilas. That's
fine. Whatever it takes.
That's why we get to dance.
Whatever
other than
it
that,
takes.
No. Yeah.
All right. Plenty of stuff to get into this morning. Plenty of stuff to talk about. So let's make our way quickly to the five things you need to know. All right. First of all, Theresa May has won the Parliament vote after buying to Brexit pressure. So the Prime Minister has vowed to stick to her plan to negotiate the closest possible trade ties of the EU. She won a series of votes in Parliament, keeping her overarching strategy to leave the European Union just about on track after buying to pressure from Brexit supporters in her party. But by accepting the demands of the Brexit campaigners, she exposed her vulnerability in Parliament, where both wings of her own party attacked each other, highlighting the deep divisions that have so far hampered progress in talks with the EU. This was going on while I was in London. It was quite interesting to see because, you know, everybody thinks, yeah, you've only got, only in your corner of the world are there problems. But trust me, this Theresa May is having a tough time wrangling her government to do anything at the moment. They're just stuck. She has vowed, speaking of stuck, to stick to her plan to negotiate really close ties with the EU in terms of trade, saying her strategy was the only one that could meet the government's aims for Brexit, the biggest shift in Britain's foreign and trade policy for decades. But even before the EU has had time to assess her vision for Britain's future ties with the bloc, her plans have come under fire from both camps. One pro-EU ex-minister called it the worst of all worlds, while Eurosceptics said the strategy kept Britain too close to the EU. I mean, this is like having two squabbling children, and you don't know what to do. The one kid wants to go to the bunny park, the other kid wants to go to the jungle gym. You don't know what to do, right? It's just, it's very complicated. But it seems that her plans remained largely on track. She denied a suggestion in Parliament that her Brexit plan was dead, and her spokesperson said the decision to accept those amendments were consistent with the white paper policy. And of course, all of this comes in the context of Donald Trump saying that she's letting her people down by not just doing the Brexit they voted for. He almost poured fuel on the fire by doing that, you know? Didn't make it very easy for her. Speaking of Trump, shock as he backs Putin on election meddling at the summit. Well, this is what people are saying. And people lost their minds on the internet yesterday because Donald Trump met with Vladimir Putin, which already to some people was treasonous. They expect, you know, it's kind of like when he met with Kim Jong-un. There are a bunch of people who said, oh, you can't even meet with him. He's a bloodthirsty dictator. But how else do you make progress in the world? So they had a meeting. And when Donald Trump was asked whether his own intelligence agencies, rather than the Kremlin leader, should be blamed for the question of whether Russia interfered to help him win the 2016 election, he said, both sides have done bad things. He denounced the stupidity of his own country's policy, especially the decision to investigate election interference. Trump's performance is likely to create a political storm in the U.S., where the White House has struggled for months to dispel a suggestion that he was unwilling to stand up to Putin. So nobody really knows what's going on here, but his performance was denounced as treasonous by a former CIA chief and condemned as shameful by a Republican senator, although other Republicans were a little more cautious. So basically, they're all looking, you know, they're deciding, well, we're either on his side or we're not, and based on that, we'll make our decision. But I don't know. Isn't it a good thing? For example, he's here in South Africa today. When Obama said that there are things that the U.S. could do in the Middle East better by admitting that the U.S. had done things badly in certain places, people denounced him for saying, oh, well, you know, he's admitting U.S. weakness, or he's admitting that the U.S. don't know how to deal with the Middle East, and it's a statement of treason. That's what they were saying then about him. Now they're saying the same thing about Trump. How do you make progress if you don't admit that you also did wrong? You know how a couple fight? Let's just take it back to something everybody can understand. If you and your girlfriend or you and your boyfriend have a fight, you, in order to get past it, you both have to admit you were wrong, even if one of you was more wrong than the other. And in your opinion, you're always less wrong than the other person, right? Sure. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So if you don't admit you're both wrong, how do you move forward? So if Trump had gone in there, this is what some people would have expected. And I'm not saying he's by any means the genius in this situation. I think Vladimir Putin is a chess master. But you go in and you say, well, you're a douchebag. You interfered in our election. It's all your fault. I blame you. I'm here to tell you that you're completely wrong. And hold the middle finger up at the same time while you're telling him this. How well do you think it's going to go from there on?
Quite badly and not very long.
Right. You have a fight with your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. You argue with each other. And then you say, well, this is entirely your fault. You're a disaster. I can't believe I got together with you in the first place, F you. The children will hate you one day. Bye-bye. And you turn your back. How well do you think that relationship's going to go from that point on? Mm. And maybe he's genuinely trying to build relationships. On the other hand, maybe Putin has something on him. You know, for the longest time, people have been saying, well, you know, the Russians hacked the election. And if anything, it seems that the Russians used Facebook, which is Mark Zuckerberg. Why isn't he in this meeting?
Well, exactly.
You know, anyway, the point is they say that the Russians hacked the election, that the Russians have some info that they're holding against Trump, that he's very embarrassed about, that he's worried will get out, that will make him an object of, you know, investigations into treason. They've been trying to find that there's no evidence so far, even though everybody's claiming that there is. There is an ongoing investigation Robert Mueller's doing. Who knows? It's certainly a lot more complicated than it looks. So whichever way you go, it's not really the right time to be shouting treason.
Man, it'd be so amazing just to get really drunk with Vlad and just and just let him talk. Not that he would, of course. But
I think he knows stuff.
But the stuff that he knows, what? And if you just had like a bro-to-bro with him, and he just told you stuff for shits and giggles, how amazing it would be, how mind-blowing it would be.
Right. Well, he knows some secrets, right?
Jeez.
Well, you've got to own secrets to be a big deal in life.
I think he knows a lot. I think he even knows some stuff about Trump, but I'm not going to speculate what it is, because it's just, I think.
He knows some secrets, right? Where the bodies are,
yes.
Where the chemicals live, where the bombs are.
Well, we know he's involved in that kind of thing. Mm. By the way, in other news, an ex-Apple employee has pleaded not guilty to a trade secret case. A former Apple employee said that they were not guilty after federal prosecutors filed an indictment accusing him of stealing trade secrets. Apple hate this because this is the only thing that positions you above your adversaries and your competitors in business, right?
But where does he work now? Because if he works at Samsung, then I guess there's smoke and there's
fire. Listen to this. Federal officials indicted Xiaolang Zhang on a single count of trade secret theft, alleging that he had stolen a 25-page blueprint for a circuit board designed to be used in an autonomous vehicle. And the FBI got involved, describing the charge and Zhang's arrest at a Silicon Valley airport before boarding a flight to China. He pleaded not guilty at a hearing on Monday in San Jose. He had provisionally appointed a public defender, but has retained his own lawyer. So this could get very ugly. Because, you know, Apple's got unbelievably deep pockets for this.
Mm.
And it seems it's a criminal investigation, so Apple aren't even going to need to part with their own money in this one. It seems that if it's a trade secret situation and it involves selling ideas, technological ideas to China, that the government, the FBI, will actually pursue this. So we'll find out. Do you trust all the people you work with?
I know. Not at all.
Oh, thanks,
whoa,
Ben.
Whoa, Ben's answer was right
was
on the
quick.
Tip of his tongue.
Of course, because we're all humans. We've all got moments of desperation, sadness, and desire.
Wait, but there's a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
And it depends on the context.
Sure.
Stealing trade secrets.
But you see, that to me is not even a personal thing. That is business. Those are trade secrets.
Mm-hmm.
That's when a clause should be in place, NDA should be in place when you walk into certain rooms. Apple.
Yeah.
You have to learn from that one. How many meetings have we been in when it's nothing even concrete and we have to sign NDAs?
Then let's just bring it home before we get to the sport. There's also a story that the ANC ordered the SABC to stop covering EFF events ahead of the 2014 election. Well, I told you I experienced this firsthand. I wasn't allowed to interview Julius Malema while I was doing a show, the morning show on 5FM, one of two of the biggest commercial stations in South Africa. They wouldn't let me talk to Julius Malema. We weren't even allowed to mention his name. There was an outright ban from management about this. And of course, all those people have been fired since then, so I could talk about it without any fear of anyone contradicting me, because they're all too cowardly anyway to tell the truth about what happened. But that's one of the reasons that I couldn't carry on working there, because they wouldn't let me talk to the people who were having the greatest impact on South African society. And now, Buyiseni Ndlozi says they raised issues about the alleged ban in 2014, And they claimed that the public broadcaster was ordered by the ANC to stop covering their events. The party appeared before the commission on Monday after the ANC made submissions last month demanding more airtime from the SABC. The ANC justified this by saying they were the majority party. The commission of inquiry was announced earlier this year. It's being headed by former press ombudsman Joe Tlolwe. And spokesperson Dr. Mbuyiseni Ndlozi says they raised issues about that back in the day. The particular ban was linked to the interest of the ANC, implemented not just by itself, but by people like Claudio Motsweneng and Zwandile Mbeje, who were at the center of running political editorial affairs. So, yeah. I mean, there we go. Finally, all comes out in the wash, right? Mm. You can't hide these things forever. Someone's eventually going to out you. They're eventually going to tell the truth.
But there really shouldn't be any of these political bollocks on national broadcasts anyway, because there's always going to be some sort of favoritism. We don't need to hear this claptrap over and over and over.
Well, in a state-run entity like the SABC, you've got no hope of being objective anyway, do you?
Yeah.
Because it's always going to be the government that decide, and there's always a red phone in someone's office.
With a cracked screen.
And it's going to ring, and then someone's going to have to make things happen. Alrighty. How can you turn your lights on with just your voice or catch intruders red-handed on camera? What about using a remote to close your window shutters? Well, later on this morning, we will make sure that we don't turn a blind eye to technological innovations for your home.
Fantastic. I've been wanting to chat about this because Greg always talks about how he's got these smart speakers and things
like
that.
Absolutely. He told me, he gave me the rundown yesterday. Wow. Don't Turn a Blind Eye To is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. That's T-A-Y-L-O-R. Blinds and Shutters. Dress up your windows from home to the office with the assurance of 60 years of high-quality products. Taylor Blinds and Shutters brings home the textures, the colors, the fabrics, the patterns, and the innovative materials that your space has been waiting for. If you want to find out more, go to cliffcentral.com right now. They're on the front page, and you can find out everything you need to know about Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Don't turn a blind eye a little bit later on cliffcentral.com. So Bitcoin's trading at a very nice 6,732, had a bit of a 5% jump yesterday, maybe even more than 5%. Ethereum at $478, starting to inch back to levels that aren't embarrassing and in the toilet. But let's not get too excited. It's time for us to check in with Ben. Ben, what do you have for us in the sports head?
Well, Gareth, why statistically this last World Cup was so good? Ronaldo's shirts are already starting to fly. Dinesh Chandamal officially banned. And why is there no Women's Tour de France? $520,000, that is how many shirts with Ronaldo's name on it from Juventus' online store, or in-store as well, were sold in the first 24 hours of him becoming a Juventus player.
Now, didn't we talk about this the other day?
520,000 shirts. And how much a shirt costs before you get to that?
No.
About 1,600 Rand is what you'll pay for a shirt.
Wow. It's expensive.
Yeah.
So, didn't we talk about this the other day? Because you were having an argument about Fiat workers. Because Juventus is owned by the same company.
Same family, right. Holding company, umbrella, whatever.
And all the Fiat workers were complaining, well, why don't we get increases? And why does Ronaldo get paid all this money to come and play for Juventus? What people don't understand is that not everybody is equal. And Ronaldo's specific talents bring a huge amount of money into the company. And you were saying he's going to make that money back for them in a very short space of time. Well, it turns out, Ben, you were right.
Well, he's a proper investment. He really is. So, you know, Luigi, I pity you on the plant, but there's bigger things at play here. There really are. 520,000 shirts in the first 24 hours of him basically being associated with the club. It's a big deal. And what makes Ronaldo so incredible is something he said this week. He said, at my stage of my career, people are either going to China or they're going to Qatar. Because it's like the twilight. Look at Andres Iniesta. He's now gone to Japan, I think. Mm-hmm. Didier Drogba went to China. You get to a certain stage where that's it. But he's 33, but he's a good 33. You know, last year we spoke about, you know, is Tiger Woods still going to be around? Well, Tiger's like a 70s supercar. There's been hookers and drugs and burning the candle at both ends in there. It's not going to start every single time. Ronaldo, though, has just treated himself so well. Early on, like, he was one of the first guys to get a proper full-time chef just to make sure that the food was just right. Everything about this guy was just perfect. He worked harder than anybody else. He took control of where he was going. He even got surrogates to give him children rather than getting into the rigmaroles of having being in a married relationship. The guy knew what he was doing. He just always knew what he was doing. Very so good. At 33, yes, Juventus are actually getting a top-class player still. They're not getting some guy who's going to sell some shirts, although that's one aspect. This guy's still got so much to give. And, of course, he has won the Ballon d'Or all these different times. He's got all these goals. I think 450 goals for Real Madrid is what he bowed out with there. That is just incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing.
He went to Real from Man United in 2009. And, he was five-time Ballon d'Or, as I said. He led Portugal to the European Championships. But all of these things is because he only wants success. He keeps driving it. So although people will say, well, he's 33, this is going to be the twilight of his career, I reckon he can still maintain. Like, they were doing the stats in the World Cup about player speed. He's still up there with some of the fastest guys in the world at 33. So it goes to show, kids, if you think you've got a small window, well, you can also just work that much harder and increase your window. That's what Ronaldo's doing. He is still a big signing. So if you've got any doubts about it, just watch this. He's just going to go from strength to strength. And yes, if a Champions League title is what happens from this, then it just justifies it even more. But yeah, if you're looking to buy one of those shirts, you're looking at about 1,600 Rand.
Nice.
In a shirthole country, probably about 2,000 Rand.
Capitalism always wins.
Yeah. Speaking of the World Cup and the stats that define how great this last World Cup was, well, people are saying that there was too many upsets and blah, blah, blah. Bollocks. It was just right. It was just the right amount of teams fell out. Just the right amount of teams stuck with it. And let's be honest, the best team did win. Although a very interesting stat was that when you got to the semifinals, this is generally when you got the best teams. In 2014, the semifinalists had 10 World Cups between them. This year, only 2 in the semifinals. Interesting stat, that. Another interesting stat was the amount of goals scored after the 90th minute. In 2018, 9 times. 9 times. 2014, just 4. 1998, just 3. 2006, just 2. So 9 times after the 90th minute, a goal was scored to decide a match, which is hugely exciting. Very, very good for fans. Set pieces. Now, one would argue that, you know, when a team doesn't have a lot of time to come together and create a real sort of unison and flow, time is spent on set pieces, making sure at least that's going to be a big draw card for you. 43% of the goals. That's incredible. 43% of set piece goals went in. That's a real big deal. Some other really interesting stats were... Oh, crap, lost it again. When you look at the Young Player Award, you know, everyone talks about the fact that Mbappe is like the next Pele. And although it does sell newspapers, it does get people to click onto websites, maybe there could be some truth in this after all. You just got to remember, Mbappe is 19. But then you go and dial it back. Okay, Pele was 17 when he got into the World Cup and he won the Best Young Player Award at the World Cup.
Jeez.
17. And back in those days, like when men were men, he was literally playing against some hard, horrible bastards. Just think, you're 17, you're from Brazil, you're now seeing the world, and it's a rough place back in the 1950s. I mean, this is like post-conflict, like Second World War, Cold War kind of times. It was rough. And Pele was this amazing, flair-filled, charismatic youngster. And he went on to obviously become what he was. Incredible. Mbappe, this could be another story in the making. At 19, he's already doing what he's doing, which is really exciting. But yeah, the World Cup was pretty good. And another aspect of this was that, well, where was the violence? Where was the outward racism? Where was all these different things? Now, what normally happens is when a third world country is given a World Cup, we saw it in 2010, the world just showers you with shit saying, oh, it's the violence and there better be another country on standby. And they're just undermining all these different countries. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. In 2022, it'll happen for different reasons, but we all know what those different reasons are. So Russia, they pulled together. They really did. And people are saying how great it was to be there, how friendly the people were. And there's only so much of a facade you can pull. And other people always go, well, if you want to see a country, don't go to it during the World Cup because FIFA are running the country, so you're not going to see the culture and the everyday problems. And yes, that's correct. But also, it's a nice way of seeing the country because it is still essentially that country. It's just been polished up very nicely for you. But you can only take a facade for so long. People were saying in the small towns, some of the lesser games, it was great. People were accommodating. Everything was great. The weather was particularly good. It was just a really nice place to be. So, well done, Russia. I mean, I know Ukraine probably still doesn't like you. A lot of people still don't like you. But it was a good show. It was nothing more than just a really, really well put together show, and we need to acknowledge that. It was a great World Cup.
Give credit where it's due, right?
Yeah, exactly. Into the crickets, which is not a place where a lot of credit's being given to the Proteas right now. Dinesh Chandimal, now he kind of the honourable thing, knowing he was going to be banned, he kind of pulled out of this test series, and the ICC have now followed through in officially putting that ban in place. So he'll be banned for 2 tests and 4 one-days. But Dale Bankenstein, who is the Proteas batting coach, I believe, I don't know how or why, but there he is, he says there really isn't that much of a gap between the two teams. Dale, their opening batsmen scored more runs than our entire team.
Yes.
So let's work that one out. One guy.
That's not great.
More.
That's not good.
Than 11 guys.
That's really not good.
In an entire test match.
Yeah.
And you want to blow it out your ass about there not being a big gap? He said the guys need to apply themselves better mentally. I know there's fine lines at the top of the game, but there seems to be this fundamental whenever the Proteas players got on like a preseason tour or something to the subcontinent where they literally are facing square turning balls days after days after days. I mean, Cricket South Africa, I think, had one sort of progressive brain fart where they sent some spinners over there to learn how to bowl in those conditions. But we can't bat there. So, Dale said, lack of match practice. Okay, Dale, this was in the calendars for ages. Don't blow it out your ass now by saying, oh, you know, the gap's quite tight. We just need to get that one under the belt. Why are these guys not playing more in these conditions? It's 2018. We have technology. We have surveillance. We have everything. Everything we need to go and acclimatize ourselves better. Imagine, like, this week at the Open Championship, you get a golfer missing the cut and goes, oh, I've just never played links golf before. The guy will be laughed out of the press room. His caddy will probably slap him in the face. You got to know where you're playing in life. It's like when you go to a presentation and say, oh, this on Excel. Sorry, I've only got a Word doc. Yeah, you can't be this naive and this stupid about this. I don't know who's lapping this crap up, but you can't keep throwing it out like that. So Friday we'll see the second test. That will be played in Sri Lanka against Sri Lanka. And the Proteas, well, they had their lowest ever batting total in test match cricket post readmission. So they can only improve. Their batting lineup is obviously massively shaky because AP de Villiers, he was pretty good with spin. He's not playing. Hashim Amla's averaging like 25 this year. He's meant to be the rock of the team. No, it's just not looking very good. But in times of toughness, this is where this is where the diamonds are mined, extracted. There's a saying in there somewhere. Coal becoming diamonds or some shit, I don't know. But apply yourselves. Prepare yourselves. Why must I be the guy saying this? Why can't Dale say this at the beginning of the year? Because then again, maybe he's being hamstrung by other powers that be. Cricket South Africa's in a mess right now. Tour de France. Why is there no woman Tour de France here?
I don't know, Ben.
Yeah, it's a real sexist answer. Non-committal. Just standing there and saying, oh, I don't know, Ben.
Sure.
Typical guy. Typical. Typical.
Well, tell us, Ben, why isn't there?
Gareth, I don't know. Do you want to see it?
No, I don't even want to see the normal Tour de France.
Typical sexist bastard, at you. Well, look, I mean, the powers that be have made the Tour de France what it is. It's obviously a big deal. And the women are saying, well, we get given this token 1 or 2 day event. It should be a real tour by now. And they're saying that men's cycling is run by men for men. Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You start something, you stick to your guns. Now, I know this whole thing, and we touched on it yesterday, about women in sport and equality and all these kind of things. But this is the fine line, and this is a very long conversation, which I will touch on from time to time, because I do believe it's worth having. You know, this whole thing about if there's a demand for women's cycling, why are they not giving an opportunity? Apparently, women's cycling is on the rise, so why are the Tour de France not doing it? Is it the Tour de France's responsibility? Should there be a women's Tour de France association or something like that that does things concurrently? All of these questions need to be answered, because if there is a demand, let's see it. Let's stop giving these women like a one-day token thing on the side. That's not right. There's a demand. People are wanting to see women cycling. Let's back that up. Let's get some sponsors together with it. And then they can have their own thing, rather than just saying, well, this is the ladies' section. Look, department stores have ladies' sections. I don't think sports should have ladies' sections. Sports should have ladies' sport. But it's going to be bold. You've got to create your own
it's
thing.
It's more of that what I like to call the soft bigotry of low expectations. You know, let's patronize women by creating a special day for them. Yeah, let's pretend that we care here. I mean, the fact is, if it's good enough, it'll rise to the top anyway, and it'll happen, and people will want to watch. It's yesterday you recognized that there's a lot more parity in tennis, for example, than there is in soccer or cricket or any of those sports. But eventually we'll get to a point through time and through interest where people will either decide that they care or they don't care about something. And then if it works, it'll work extremely well. If it doesn't work, it'll fail dismally.
Yeah, I just want to get away from the point where people are saying, why isn't there a women's thing? Rather than like, okay, guys, let's all petition together. Let's get, I don't know, 10,000 signatures on this. Let's get a sponsor. Let's get a little thing. It's going to start small, but at least you get a foothold. It's like looking at the property ladder. You can't just say, well, why haven't I got a mansion? Okay, well, let's start. Let's have a townhouse in an area with stray dogs. And then we build and build and build. Before you know it, you got your own thing. I think that's how it works. Again, this is me. Maybe.
You don't have to have stray dogs.
It's reality, Gareth. It's reality. So there is no women's Tour de France. There's these token little throwaways on the side. But if there's a demand, then let's start stoking the flames here of this demand and see where it can get us.
Okay.
The Open Championship starts this week, which is hugely exciting. And yes, there is a women's British Open. But that's a different story. The Open Championship is so big. When you win it, you are seen as the champion of the year. Some ruddy-faced old git rocks up with a red nose and a trophy and says, you are the champion golfer of the year. And then everyone claps. It's beautiful. That'll take place on Sunday, but it starts on Thursday. And the great thing about Carnoustie is that it's one of the world's great golf courses. Apparently, it gets its name from crows used to have a nest in the area. And crows are horrible. So no one used to really want to go there, and it was a really sort of unpleasant place.
Mm-hmm.
And still to this day, it can be a rather unpleasant golf course to play because the wind whips in over the Fife Bay, or I don't know, it's really close to St. Andrews. You can literally see St. Andrews from Carnoustie. It's all in the same sort of hood.
Okay.
And Carnoustie is crow nest of crows, broken down in
that's terrible.
General jumbled Scottish language.
What a horrible thing to be named after, a nest of crows.
Yeah, you can literally have your eyes poked out here, or your scorecard poked to pieces. So that'll take place from Thursday. Tiger Woods has a very late time, so everyone's going off one tee, which is kind of nice. Now, how these work normally is you get these super groups where the best players all play together, and you play off two tees. The RNA, who do their own thing, they always doing things that are proper, so they'll do things as they wish. So everyone goes off one tee. The tee times range from, get this, there's so much golf getting played. 6:35 in the morning, Sandy Lyle. Yes, he's still playing.
Yes.
Sandy Lyle, who's 60. He's won the title twice, and he's wheeling himself out there for one last time. He'll tee off at 6:35. And then all the way through at 6:15, we'll see three guys who I've never heard of play. Golf all day, so yeah. And they play right into late into the night, because obviously it's Northern Hemisphere, so this is their summertime. Yeah, but I'll get into those pairings closer to the time, obviously who the favorites are to pick, and what the weather conditions are, because that is key. Like, I mean, you can be given a real raw deal in that if you tee off in the morning and it's raining, and it's windy, and then you've got to play in the rain, often you feel can have beautiful conditions. Conversely, it always switches, so that your morning time becomes an afternoon time, you can again get horrible conditions, and then suddenly you miss the cut, all because of weather. These are key things. I'll get into more tomorrow. Final sporting story for your day, Diego Maradona's got a new job.
What's his job?
He is now the chairman of the Dynamo Brest club in Belarus.
Oh, see, he was auditioning for a job.
You see that one coming out?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes, well, I mean, I knew Maradona wouldn't disappear quietly into the hills.
Yeah.
There's going to be interest in him. He's a lightning rod.
If you want to see some interesting pictures, just go and Google Maradona Dynamo Brest, or just Maradona's new job. Yeah.
What does it involve?
He's the chairman, Gareth.
So does he sit in meetings?
All I've got here is he's the chairman. He's basically taken his last job. He was coaching in the UAE. That didn't go so well. So now he's the chairman of Dynamo Brest.
Wow.
Who've never won a league title.
Probably never will, but...
But there's new interest from... Yeah. So... Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take it. Maradona's got to get what he can. He needs some more income. Got to get that Coke money somehow. All right, Sia, what do you got for us? He does. Come on, let's be realistic.
Okay, he's 157.
Got to get the Coke money, man.
Use it, don't use it. This is just some good advice for this morning on Set by Sia. Now, whether it's politics or work or relationship drama, we all know how tough life can be here and there. But a new study has now found that simply spending 20 minutes writing positive thoughts down might just help ease the pressure of daily life.
Hmm.
So according to a new survey and a psychologist, spending 20 minutes a day just jotting down positive experiences and thoughts, the psychologist says anything from being moved by a good book or, you know, a great new song that you heard.
How many minutes do we have to do
20.
This? 20 minutes we have to write down positive things.
Yes, may be enough to decrease stress levels. The lead researcher, Michael Smith, is an associate professor of psychology at Northumbria University. So the study began with looking at people between the ages of 19 and 77, and they divided the group into two. Mm-hmm. Now, the first was asked to write about positive experiences that are currently happening in their lives, while the other was encouraged to just go on about their daily lives and complaining about what happens. And over the course of a couple of days, that's how quickly the results began to show. The one group who focused on just the ordinary and complaining about what is happening started to show symptoms of stress and anxiety, while the other, it just seems like their stress and anxiety levels began to decrease slightly. So we aren't saying this isn't going to change the world overnight.
Isn't this kind of obvious?
I know.
Like, if you're a negative, miserable person and you spend your life dwelling on how things are shit, then your life's keep getting shit.
Mm.
If you're a happy, positive person, then you're going to think positive thoughts, you're going to attract positive people, you're going to attract things happening that are going to make a useful difference. And I mean, this is kind of obvious, I hate to say it.
But they do emphasize the point of writing things down. So it's not just typing it out somewhere. Because I always say, you know, like one of the things that I like is a handwritten letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no cutaway or to pass the time around it. Someone has to physically spend all that time trying to say nice things about you. So as well with the writing down, mm-hmm. it is spending and concentrating on 20 minutes of how good or how grateful you actually are, as opposed to a quick type on a keyboard.
All right.
So I don't know, use it, don't use it, but really to just reduce your stress, and it's backed by science, just spend 20 minutes a day writing some of the positive experiences you have in your life.
Good.
That's like your Sid Bicea for this morning.
All right, thank you very much. Okay. It's almost 7 o'clock. We're going to get stuck into some of the things you want to talk about and hopefully some of the things that you have an opinion on. And you can always give us a call, 0861-555-189. Phones are working, so we're back on track with that. You can also Skype us, Cliff Central, one word, and you can have your say. I mean, we would rather hear from you than sit here and just talk to ourselves the whole morning. So if you've got something important that you want to throw in, you know what to do. Give us a shout. That's what we're here for. And coming up in a short while, we'll also check in on the new Turning a Blind Eye, Don't Turn a Blind Eye To, which is, of course, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. All of that on the way. You ready for a big day? Big day's coming at you.
This is CliffCentral.com.